thinking about thankfulness. Have you noticed that sometimes people pretend things are better than they are? Have you noticed that when it happens? So one of the ones I've noticed over the years is, for example, at a funeral where there might be a lot of people who aren't believers present, people talking about, Uncle Harry's kind of up there, sentimental statements, he's up there smiling down on us today, People pretending that things are better than they are. But Christians, we do it too, don't we? One example that comes to mind is, you come to Jesus and your life, it's just going to be fantastic. Everything's going to be breezy. The blessings of God are going to overflow in all aspects of your life, maybe your finances, your health, your career, your relationships. Just come to Jesus, this kind of notion. I mean, that is out there, but it's only pretending. Think about it. Think about the one we say we follow. How breezy were things for him? And if life was, had its challenges for our Lord Jesus, surely we can expect to face our own challenges, in with the blessings, of course. It's pretending. Another example of pretending is that one, when people are praying that God will bless them. God, please. Well, instead of praying that God will, bless me in terms of my career or in terms of this relationship that I'm hoping will work out a certain way or financially again or my health. Sometimes Christians pray as though God's already given us this thing. Have you ever experienced that one? God, thank you that you've already healed Sally, when clearly he hasn't. Not in that physical sense, at least, and not yet, at least. All it is pretending. Sometimes God doesn't do these things. Christians are pretty good at pretending too. So we come to our special verses for today, and it's 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. We've got them up here. Follow with me as I read them. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What do you think? Good couple of verses, hey? But is this just another example of pretending? I mean, give thanks in all circumstances? Is this telling us we need to pretend that life is kind of rosy all the time? You all know that the answer to that, of course, is that it's not saying that. It's not saying we need to pretend. But it is a big call, isn't it? And when we think about even those circumstances that were presented to us in the video, in the good times, I can give thanks. But in the bad times, or the scary times, or when it seems like God isn't answering our prayers, where to give thanks? Well, what I want to do just in the next few minutes, and this is just a short address this morning, is I want to give you, actually I'm not going to give you, you already know these things. I'm going to remind us all, we're going to remember together five reasons why we can always give thanks and we never need to pretend about it. Here's the first one. God never changes. God never changes. If there's one thing we can be certain of in life, it's what? There's going to be change. And it can be big, it can be small, it can be good, sometimes it's bad. But the guaranteed thing is it's going to happen. Whether it is in our job or our relationships or our finances or our health or our world, things will change. Now, yes, it can be bad. And it can be good, even when it's good. And we were listening to someone share last night who was going through some changes that weren't all bad, but it can still be very unsettling. It can still be difficult, even when it's good. Change. At times, it can leave us feeling totally lost. And yet, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, we're reminded, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That doesn't mean he never does new things. That doesn't mean he's not in these changes, but his character and his purposes and his love never change. That's one reason why, no matter what, we can always be thankful. Number one. Number two, God is always working for our good. Is that true? Sometimes it's hard to see, isn't it? But it is true. God is always working for our good. So Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know, Paul says, that in all things, think about that, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. He does. Verses 31 to 32 in the same chapter, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is always working for our good. Even when it seems like our prayers are going unanswered, even when we can't understand all that's going on around us or why God would allow it, God is always working for our good. We have that confidence and reassurance. That's the second reason that no matter what, we can always be thankful and we don't need to pretend. A third reason is that God never leaves us. He never leaves us no matter what's going on. Think of the Old Testament story of Joseph. Right, here's the classic example, isn't he? Think about what happened to Joseph. Right, he was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery. He was then kind of betrayed again by the wife of his master. He was sent to jail and left to rot in jail. And yet, as we read on in his story, we learn, don't we, that God never abandoned Joseph. That's the message of the story of Joseph. God never abandoned him and was always at work, in fact, through him for his good and big and loving purposes for actually the whole world, ultimately. God never left Joseph. And goodness me, if you were there in the midst of some of those bad times, I don't think you would have found that easy to see at the time. God never leaves us. Think about Daniel, sent off into exile, into a foreign land, even into the lion's den. God never abandoned him. And ever since Jesus, all of God's people have had the promise. Have we not got the promise of God's presence with us through the Spirit? Do we not? God with us. The author of Hebrews repeats a promise that was first we originally find back in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, because God has said, never will I leave you, nor never will I forsake you. Never will I leave you. And my favorite, one of my very, very favorite verses, that part of Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39, for I'm convinced, Paul says, that and Paul should know because of what he'd been through, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And that is true. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He's the resurrected one. He is bigger even than death. He is reigning today. He will return. We have this real hope. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He may not take away all the bad things. In fact, I can tell you now, he won't. He will not. We are not in heaven yet. But he does promise to remain by our side in the midst of it all, even and sometimes, I reckon, perhaps especially in the darkest times. He does, and that's his promise. Okay, that's our third reason. The fourth reason, we can always be thankful, and we don't need to pretend, is that God's power is made perfect in weakness. You know, when we feel our weakest, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Isn't that the story of the great King David? I've been listening to the story of David recently on a kind of a Bible reading thing. And why was he chosen to be king? Not because of his great quality from a worldly perspective, but because of his faith. It was because of his heart. It was because he trusted in God, not because of anything special about himself. And that's that well-known, that verse 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Do not consider his appearance or his height. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Right, and we think of that story of David and Goliath, don't we? As that very concrete picture of God's power through the weakness even of this one like David. But in our lives, this is true. This is how he works. And think of the Apostle Paul. Did he not write about a thorn in his flesh that he begged that God would take away from him? He felt like this thing was tripping him up, whatever it was, and holding him back. And yet, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul writes, but he said to me, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And, you know, it needs to be, doesn't it? Because that shows where the real strength comes from. Otherwise, we'd be tempted, and maybe others, to think that it comes from us. But it doesn't. It's Christ's strength in and through us. Paul responds, verses 9 and 10, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, for when I am weak, then I am strong. It's beautiful, isn't it? Again and again in Scripture, this is the pattern we see, God's power in weakness. He turns the way of the world upside down. The things we might fear, we do not need to fear, because God's power is made perfect in weakness. And just think about Jesus on the cross. Was that not the picture of defeat and weakness? And yet there we see, the Bible talks about the cross as though Jesus is lifted up, not hanging and dying from a cross, but lifted up in victory on that cross. That is the scriptural, that is God's perspective on this. And it was his victory, because it's through the cross that our sins were defeated, and through his death that he rose and we can know new life. God's power is made perfect in weakness. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 19, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. And Paul then says it's the foolish, I'm sorry guys, but it's the foolish and the inconsequential people of this world, the weak and the lowly and the despised, that he works through to show that he is the source of all wisdom and all power, and we thank him for it, don't we? Okay, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. I certainly know that in my life, because it's when I feel most weak, what am I driven to do? Go to prayer, that's right. And then what's God do? He does his thing, right? Often in ways we never would expect, but he's a good God and he's faithful. And that's certainly been my experience. I wish it wasn't, because that means God has to keep showing me how weak I am to get me to do it. If only I'd do it before. Maybe you guys are better than me. I hope you are. But this is how he works. He works through the weakness. Our confidence doesn't rest on our strength. Thank God for that. Okay. Finally, number five, last reason why, well, there's others, I'm sure. The last reason I'm going to give you why we can be thankful and we do not need to pretend is that big picture. God offers forgiveness and a fresh start in Jesus. He does. And this is the heartbeat of our lives and our faith, is it not? He offers forgiveness and a fresh start. Thank God for that. You know, I think a lot of people, they get through life by either ignoring or justifying their guilt. Because if we're honest with ourselves about our shortcomings, the guilt can eat away at our soul. If we're honest. And yet Romans chapter 3, this is us. It doesn't have to be that way for us. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. This righteousness, that means we are righteous. We are made right in our relationship with God, with the Holy God. This righteousness is given how? Through faith in Jesus, just through trusting in Him to all who believe. Because you know what? All have sinned, every single one of us, and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely, freely by His grace, a gift through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ, what He did for us. You know what? We do not need to ignore our guilt. We don't need to justify ourselves. We don't need to pretend. We don't need to pretend. Because of Jesus, we are free. We are forgiven and we are set free. How thankful can we be? Without any pretending, we've got so much to be thankful for. There are so many reasons.